how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Sing that again, how great. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And no one will see how great is our God. The splendor of the King, the splendor of a King. Golden majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Sing verse 2, from age to age.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Lord. How great you are. How awesome you are, Father. the plans you have for us, how marvelous they are. Lord, not one thing that you have done for us in such a glorious way did you do because we deserved it. Because of our actions and our dealings and our faithfulness or whatever. For whatever it is that we are, whatever it is that we have done, has happened only because of your grace, because of your empowerment. Therefore, we can surmise that all that we are and all that we'll ever be is simply because of your grace and your mercy. It is your mercy that displays your greatness in ways that we cannot describe. Lord, how marvelous you are. Takes nothing for you to create the galaxies, the universe, to put the sun and the moon in place. They have no will of their own. They have to do whatever it is that you say they must do and be. But men, women, people, you gave a will to. They can will to say no, they can will to say yes. And in spite of all those complexities, your love supersedes, and you still make of men and women that choose to fail, you make something good out of them. Your greatness is mostly displayed in your love, your mercy, your goodness towards people. We give you praise for that. That day by day, you make the choice to love us anyway and help us be all that we should be for your glory and honor. How great thou art, Father. How great thou art. Blessed be your holy name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all this wonderful evening. This day that the Lord God Almighty has made for us to rejoice and be glad. I celebrate every one of you today because the greatness of God is revealed in each one of us as we let God be God in our lives. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We welcome those that are listening online. We know God is going to speak to every one of us powerfully tonight. Hallelujah. This morning I shared with you from a very interesting passage of scripture, the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis, where Tamar enforced the promise. Most of this year, if the Lord leads that way, we are going to be addressing a very important subject. The subject being the establishment of the covenant of God. And as we go through it, we will see that God moves on things very strategically, in a very focused way. He doesn't rush because he knows he's going to arrive on time. Let me say that again. God doesn't rush because he knows he's going to arrive on time. Let me say it the third time. God doesn't rush because he knows he's going to arrive on time. How does he know that he's going to arrive on time? Because he's already there before he started. God finishes before he even starts. That's the incredible thing about God. When we fail, it is not God. It's never been God. When there's an unanswered prayer, it is not God. It's always been us. That puts a lot of onus on us. But the reality is that God takes that weight off of us. All we need to do is just agree to his leading. So the quest of the believer, the child of God, is singular. Hear what God is saying, see what God is showing, and do what God is doing. You say, but those are three things you just said, but it's all the same thing, obedience. Obedience. So he says, obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. The spirit of disobedience is as the spirit of witchcraft. You bewitch yourself when you disobey the instruction of the Lord. This singular lesson is so important because it brings us to the place where we understand one singular point. The point of humility. It takes humility to obey. When you humble yourself, he says, I will lift you up. God hates pride, self-aggrandization, just me, myself, and I can do it by my strength, by my power. God hates that. The Lord says in John, the 15th chapter, says, you can do nothing without me. When I look at my life as an individual, as a person, then as a pastor, I can trace every stumbling point to me thinking I can do it. Yes, you can. I can do all things through. Yes, you can do all things, but it's through Christ. You are a victor because of the greater one that is in you than he that's in the world. You're not greater than the forces of darkness because of your amazing prayer life, or your word life, or whatever. And all of those things are important. Believe me, child of God, all of those things are important, for the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, but it is the sword of the Spirit. I am empowered by the grace of God. And when I recognize the fact that it is only by the grace of God and the mercy of God that I will overcome, I will win, I humble myself in the sight of God. Because even my obedience is only based on what he does in me and through me. Cause this also to be triumphant always in every situation. Everything I've been sharing with you so far is not what I was going to talk to you about, what it meant for somebody. God wanted me to say all of those things for somebody right here or somebody listening to me over there. The grace of God empowers us to succeed. Just a moment ago, as I was entering in praise, worship, adoration, and in prayer, something became very clear. The greatest manifestation of the greatness of God, and as great as the galaxy is, as great as the earth is, and you need to sometimes just visit some places and just look at what God has created, and you'll be awed. You say, wow, God is amazing. You look at some fishes and you just look at some birds and you say, my God. Go to South Dakota and see the amazing things that God has done. You say, oh my God. You, as you go around the world, you see the awesomeness of God. But nothing in all of that compares with you. It amazes me how we belittle ourselves and see ourselves as nothing. Because we think of ourselves as so small and not recognize that God loved us so much that He gave His life. He exchanged His life for me. You know, I have a cell phone there. If I give that cell phone to you and say, you want to buy this? You say yes. And maybe I paid $1,000 for it. And you come and you want that phone because you like it, because it belongs to Bishop Mike. Bishop Mike has been carrying this phone. It's an anointed phone. I need that phone. And you decide that you're going to pay $1 million for that phone. The value of that phone just changed from $1,000 to $1 million. Are you with me so far? That's the value you put on it. If somebody else comes and says, I'm going to pay $1 billion for that phone, the value of that phone has changed from $1,000 to $1 million to $1 billion. Now the value for that phone is $1 billion. And no matter how much you discount that phone, as long as it's not discounted to less than $1,000, it's still just as valuable. Are you with me? Now the price that God paid for my salvation was the price of God Himself. That gives me the value of God, the worth of God. Now, how dare I mess up that value and fill it up with every form of evil, or allow anybody to make me less than what God says I am? That's not good. But many times that's what we do. We reduce our value to something less than what God says we are. We reduce our value and our worth in the sight of God, and we trade it for alcohol. We trade it for drugs. We trade it for illicit sexual activities. We trade it for lies. We trade it for whatever, and we reduce our value, or we allow people to call us names and we believe and accept those names. They call us foolish and we act foolish. They call us dummies and we act like dummies. But when God says, this is who you are, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased, we don't accept it. Who then is God over your life? The God who says something and you refuse to believe it, or the one who says something bad about you and you buy it, hook, line, and sinker? We allow the society to define us. We allow fear to define us. We allow all kinds of things to define our lives. And today my prayer is this, that we will make the decision, I am going to believe what God says about me and stick with that and refuse to accept any lie, no matter where else it comes from. Because only God ultimately knows you, and the God who knows you loves you. And therefore, you must love yourself because you agree with him. You must say amen to God. Amen? You must say amen to God. And accept his will for your life. And refuse to reduce yourself to something that does not count. That's a decision every one of us need to make on a daily basis. God thinks I am valuable. Therefore, I must think of myself as one who is valuable under his lordship. Praise the Lord. Now, having said all of that, let me get to the point of this evening. In Genesis chapter 45, and verse 10, Joseph stands and he says to his brothers, now that he's revealed himself to them, he says to his brothers, he says, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. Everything about you now will come to Goshen, and you will be where I am. In that very moment, Joseph was upgrading the status of his brothers. They were all herdsmen, and they were in a state of famine, and now they're going to have this turf called Goshen. They're going to live there, and he's speaking it into place even before Pharaoh says anything about it. He's already picked out where they're going to be and what's going to happen in their lives, and he's declaring it forcefully, prophetically into their lives. So he speaks that, and the Bible goes on and says, he says, and there will I nourish thee. This is exactly what God is saying to us. God says, draw near unto me, and I'll draw near to you. He says, come all, but just the way you are, come to me. And I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to cause glory to rest upon your life. And Joseph is speaking unto these brothers and says, he says, when you come, he says, there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine. Things are going to get tougher, he's saying to them. Lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. In essence, this is the poorest you're ever going to be right now. From here on, things are going to start improving for you. Things may be going down for the rest of the world, but things are going to go well for you. Hallelujah. Do you receive that? It says, and behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. You see that I, Joseph, your brother, am the one speaking to you. And God is saying the same thing to us. He says, see, it's me, God, speaking to you. I'm telling you, this is the poorest you're ever going to be. From this point on, you're going to move up. Yes. Hallelujah. We need to embrace that word of God, that God is escalating supernaturally, upgrading us to another level. Amen. Amen? I declare this day, say it with me, I declare this day that this very moment is the poorest I will ever be. From this very moment on, everything changes for me to the glory of God. Amen. Let's have that sealed. He says, and ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither, bring him to me. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Everyone, his leadership team, were pleased to see that Joseph's brothers had come. And this is the message I want to bring to us today. Get in there. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beast and go, get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded. This is a command. I'm not suggesting it. I'm commanding you to do this. To do what? Pharaoh, to do what? Lead your beast, go, get you into the land of Canaan, take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. I'm commanding you to do that. Go bring your parents here and eat the good of the land. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff.